On behalf of Rebuilding Your Life Radio and the Train Your Brain, Claim Your Power calls, welcome. I'm your host, Susan Sciarrico. For those of you who listen regularly to this program, you know we often have people on who have taken a passion to a deeper level. You know, they make a career or they write a book, something that really immerses them in what they're doing. And you may be someone who'd like to do that as well. If you'd like to explore that, you know, for yourself, that possibility, be sure to listen to the end of the show where I'll share one thing that you can do right away. Our guest today is Dr. Kathy Stewart. She is a retired pharmacist who has taken the opportunity to volunteer at her nearby Agape Center and teaching adult Sunday school. She has her doctorate in religious studies, so that this is really her passion and has been her passion her whole life. Her specialty is in the letter to the Hebrews in the New Testament. And I'm curious about why she chose to write and teach about Hebrews. So let's find out. Please wave your hands to welcome Kathy Stewart. Hello, Kathy. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Susan. I'm glad to join you this afternoon.
Me, I'm glad to have you come as well. When did you get so interested in the book of Hebrews?
Well, actually, it was when I was studying for my master's degree at Liberty University, and I took a course on Hebrews. The professor there was just really interesting, and that's really became when I became so interested in the subject.
Now, was there something in particular that drew you to it?
Well, it just, I got so fascinated by it because to me, it is the most encouraging book in the New Testament. So it's just a very great book, you know, that Jesus is better than anybody or anything else, you know, in this book, in this work. It magnifies him. Exalts him as our great high priest and who we can come to with our needs, our daily needs, to find comfort and mercy and grace in our time of need. He is there, always to listen to us and intercede for us.
Now, you didn't write it, right, your book right away. Why did you take it further than, say, Sunday school or Bible study?
Well, it did take me a few years to get started on it. I will say that. And, you know, being a typical writer, you have your little periods of writer's block in there where you kind of get hung up.
Yep,
you know,
yep.
On certain periods of time. And I say, well, my book is titled Hebrews. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. So I said, hey, get off the stick. You better finish this thing and get it done.
Speaking of the title, what is the significance of it's not how you start, it's how you finish?
Yes. Well, you know, there are some people who get off to this magnificent start in their lives, and it just seems like they're going blazes, you know, or something like that. I give the Old Testament example of King Saul. He had a very good beginning about him, but he did not end very well. And then you look ahead to the New Testament Saul, whose name is later changed to Paul, and he does not have a very good start. You know, he's starting out persecuting the church, but in the end, he has a glorious ending to his career. He, you know, most of our New Testament is composed of his epistles. He's also the apostle to the Gentiles. The Lord calls him to that, to bear witness to you know, kings and authorities and whoever. So he just has a wonderful finish about him. So it really isn't how you begin. It's whether you can endure to the very end. Very much like the author says, continuance in the faith is truly the evidence of your salvation if you endure until the very end.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I obviously, it took you a while to write because you did take a few gaps of writer's block. But what's very interesting was I started to read it. I'm reading it on the Kindle, which is a more challenging way to read that book, because this is not just an expose or a book that you wrote about and explaining the entire thing. This is actually a guidebook, a workbook for people who are going into a much deeper study of the Bible passages that are found in Hebrews. There's places for them to do exercises, for them to go back and look at the passages in other places in the Bible and how they relate to that passage in Hebrews. That's a different kind of
yes,
education.
It is a very unique approach. It was meant to be a study guide for people who really want to delve more deeply into the Word. They could kind of go at their own pace. You know, like I say, it is a study guide for believers to delve into that work.
Now, how have people responded to it when they actually go through it? And if they do, they do the work, or do they just skip over it and keep reading?
Well, actually, I have known one or two people that have actually gone into it and have followed through on it. Most people don't really do that well on it, but like I say, my approach is unique. What I had in mind was, I did a lot of Beth Moore studies, if you're familiar with her. She wrote study guides for Lifeway Publishing, and she did hers in like question and answer formats that she did those in, and I was kind of basing it on her approach to the work.
Now, is the physical book itself more like a workbook where there's places for them to fill in?
Yes.
Okay. So it does. It's easy to maneuver with it. You don't have to go have another book or notebook to work with. Okay. One of the things I didn't know when I started reading your book is that the author is unknown. How did it even get included in the New Testament?
Well, it almost didn't get in there. You know, it was a group of works that were called the Anti-Legumia, which means works that were spoken against, because the writer was not known. You know, their identity was unknown. So, you know, it's entirely up to speculation as to who actually wrote it. There's a camp of believers that believe, well, it was written by Paul. And then there's another camp of believers, well, possibly one of his contemporaries or one of his associates. The two most prominent that are named are Barnabas, who went with him on his first missionary journey, who was a Levite from Cyprus, and whose name means son of encouragement. And the epistle to the Hebrews is about the high priestly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the tribe of Levi were the Old Testament priests. That's how he fits in. And it is, as I say, the author himself says at the very end of his epistle, bear with this word of encouragement or this word of exhortation. So Barnabas is mentioned as a possible candidate. There's another gentleman in the book of Acts by the name of Apollos. He is from the city of Alexandria. He's a very eloquent man. It says he's mighty in the scriptures. And it's interesting, in the city of Alexandria, there was a gentleman by the name of Ptolemy. He was one of Alexander the Great's generals who got control of the Egyptian country. I guess you could say he was a Greek pharaoh, and he commissioned a group of Jewish elders to translate the Hebrew Old Testament into Greek, because he wanted to put a copy into the library there in the city of Alexandria. Well, the scriptures that are quoted in the book of Hebrews are taken from the Septuagint. So Apollos would be very, very familiar with that work, very extremely familiar with it. So he's mentioned again as another possible candidate. But like I say, the author is just not known.
But they are able to eliminate Paul, aren't they? Because I gathered something in the back, toward the end, incorporates activities or things that happened after Paul had passed away.
Yes. There is a mention of Timothy being released from prison. Now, Timothy was never imprisoned during the lifetime of Paul. That never happened. Also, there is strong evidence in internal evidence in chapter 2 during the first warning that is given, where it is mentioned that the message was passed down from the Lord to us. Now, the us includes the author and his readers, by those who knew the Lord, by those who knew the Lord. And that would be the apostles. So The hierarchy goes the Lord, the apostles, and then us, you know, which includes, I say, the author and the readers. So that's very strong internal evidence that Paul did not write this.
Right, because he was really, at that point, an apostle.
He was an apostle.
Right. Okay. Well, Kathy, I noticed something very significant, because throughout my growing in faith, one of the big questions for me was the relationship of Christ and God, not just the Father-Son aspect of it, but, is Christ God? You know, there was this blurring in some of the writings, and I couldn't find an answer. And this passage in Hebrews is one of the most powerful descriptions of Jesus Christ that I have ever read. That it emphasizes that Christ was the Son of God, and it mentions with all the rights of inheritance to reign over all creation.
Yes.
That Christ is the Word of God and responsible for setting up, upholding, maintaining, and propelling the entire physical and spiritual universe by his word. That is such a powerful description of the role of Christ in our life and world.
Yes, he is the first begotten of creation. That means first in priority over creation. Mm. And chapter 1 really comes out like gangbusters. You know, it says that he's better than the angels.
Yes.
Now, if you are better than the angels, that only leaves one individual up there. That kind of eliminates everybody else, you know, in the hierarchy of things. It goes on in chapter 1, you know, how he created the angels. He has a more excellent name than the angels. That name is Son. You know, he never called any of the angels son. You know, the angels worship him. You know, there are just so much. I mean, he just comes right out of the gate like gangbusters, you
he
know,
really
to assert that the deity of Jesus Christ, you know, even when he's talking about the prophets, you know, in those first listing, you know, underneath the prophets, he talks about, you know, God spoke in times past, and, you know, to the prophets, and it was more like piecemeal, you know, it was just partial revelation to them, like in dreams and visions and things. But in the latter days, he has spoken through his Son. You know, that's a final revelation, you know, and it's complete. You know, it's not piecemeal. It's a complete revelation. He goes on to state, you know, that he is heir of all things. He's made him heir of all things. He's the exact radiance of God's glory. And, you know, in the scriptures it says, the Lord said in Isaiah, no one can share the radiance of my glory. You know, they just can't do that. But he says he's the exact radiance of God's glory. He's the express image of him. Just so many things that assert his deity in there.
It really is. I mean, it's a powerful, powerful opening to Hebrews. And then there was another phrase where they say, he sat down, referring to Christ sat down.
Yes.
And that has major importance.
Sat down. Yes. Sat down upon the throne after he had, you know, made purification for sins. He sat down. It was final. It was complete. Yes. Everything was done.
Well,
and now he sat down by the right hand of God the Father.
Yes. Yes, and that is, I mean, that leads right into my next question, which is that Christ provides direct access to God. So
right.
We pray in Jesus' name, and then it struck me as I was reading it that it pulled me in that it's not like he's off to the side and we talk to God directly and bring up Jesus' name. It's
mm-hmm.
actually as if we are speaking through Christ. To God,
yes.
To get
yes,
that direct
he is,
access.
He is one that offers mercy and grace in our time of need. Yes, he is. He is so magnificent in his role as our great high priest.
And he's also co-equal in authority with the Father
yes.
with regard to the future plans for humanity.
Yes, exactly. Oh, absolutely.
That really is. I've never read those words like that anywhere else in the Bible.
Yes.
It's so powerful. Now, after chapter 10, Hebrews
mm-hmm.
changes from this doctrine to a much more practical application and
yes.
encourages us, let us do something. Let us act in faith. Let us have hope. Let us have love. It's a whole different animal. Why is that important? What was he trying to convey there?
Well, it's just like, as you say, it's a practical application. So it's like, once you do know all the doctrinal aspects pertaining to Christ, you know that he is this better person, that he, ministers in a better tabernacle, that he is the mediator of a better covenant, that he's the better sacrifice. Once you know all that, how do you, as a believer, intend to apply it to your life? And you want to make practical applications to your life from that. For instance, to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. That's one of the practical applications. You are to follow in faith, you know, and there's that great chapter in Hebrews 11 about people in the Old Testament who followed were able to hang in there to endure because they possessed great faith, you know, in their lives. It's really about enduring. How well do you run the race? You know, keeping your eyes on Jesus, you know, because it's not a sprint. It's a marathon that you're in. And it's just a whole wonderful application to your life. How you, based on endurance, based on diligence, how you approach that as a believer.
Well, that is, I mean, I said, when that's important because it, I mean, it's one thing to say I'm going to endure. That's a heavy word.
Yes.
Yet there is enough material in there that it's actually encouraging.
Yes. Yes. It gives you great encouragement there. Very great encouragement. I mean, I know he does give them some severe warnings. But after these severe warnings, he does give them great encouragement. You know, he says that they're holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling. You know, he just speaks words to them that encourage them, that he's convinced of better things concerning them. And those Hebrew Christians, they needed to hear words like that because at that particular time in history, the Romans were persecuting Christians. But now they were not persecuting Jews, which is, you know, they did not persecute anyone who was an idol worshiper, anyone who worshiped the emperor. Well, they knew that Jews did not worship idols, did not worship the emperor. But nevertheless, they did not persecute Jews because Jews were an old religion.
Mm-hmm.
So in a sense, you know, they got a pass. Rome gave them a pass. But Rome did persecute Christians because they were a new faith entirely. So as a result, some of these Jewish believers were tempted to lapse, you know, out of Christianity and go back into Judaism.
Where it was safer.
To lapse from that. So He uses two weapons. He uses encouragement for them to hang in there, and he issues five warnings. You know, don't you even think about it. Just don't think about it for 1 minute. You need to hang in there because, you know, they just needed to remain in the faith.
Right, right. So, well, Kathy, this book, I mean, your book is... as a workbook or as a guidebook for people to go through this is so valuable. Where do they find it?
Where can they find it? Well, they can definitely get it on Amazon. So they can find it there on Amazon. I'm dealing right now with some people that are marketing, helping to market my book. It's called Your Online Publishers. They have set up for me what's called a Facebook business account. If you're ever able to stumble across that, I've never been able to stumble across it, to be quite honest with you. But you could purchase it that way.
As well,
But Amazon is probably your best
primary?
Shot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, are you open to speaking with people about this? I mean, do you go to groups and churches and things like that?
Well, yes, I'm speaking right now to my Sunday school class. I'm in the process of doing that. I did at one time teach a ladies group on the book of Hebrews, and they were just wonderful to work with. those ladies, they really got into it.
So how do people find you?
Like I say, they can, I don't know what the best way to get me. You know, I have email, you know, mm-hmm. email address that they can send me some questions or something if they're truly interested. Other than that, you know, like I say, I would appreciate, you know, anyone who can order my book from Amazon to maybe write a comment on Amazon, a kind of a review. There's a few reviews on there of some people that have ordered it, and that would be very helpful.
Yes, it would. It's a lovely thing that people do that. Any last thoughts you'd like to share before we have to close out?
Well, not really, other than to be encouraged. Like I say, I know it's some people go through very hard times in their lives. They may be experiencing divorce. They may be experiencing the loss of someone very dear in their lives. They may be experiencing cancer, the loss of a job, perhaps. But just hang in there. Be encouraged, because we do have a great high priest who can sympathize with us. He was tempted in all things as we were, and yet he is just... Jesus is the best thing that can ever happen to us.
Well said, Kathy. Well said.
Thank you
very much. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you. You're very welcome.
You know, I'd like to remind our listeners that we've been speaking with Kathy Stewart about her book, Hebrews, It's Not How You Start, It's How You Finish. It's available at Amazon. And as I mentioned earlier, if you have a passion that calls you to do something, I would enjoy helping you uncover ways to begin that process. Send me an email at susan@susanshirako.com, and we can set an appointment to talk. So thank you again for listening, and thanks to those who support the program. We really appreciate you. As we bring this in for a landing, Kathy, thank you again for joining us today.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Okay.
It was a pleasure.
I'm so glad. All right, everybody. Bye for now, and have a great day.